ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to the Soccer Today. I was going to say Two Solitudes. No, welcome to Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, it's our MLS Cup playoff preview show today, and we're going to start by looking at the DC United Toronto FC matchup with James Grossi. James, how you doing today?
Not too shabby. How are you boys doing?
Doing well. James is just up at training for TFC today, and of course he follows the team quite closely, so we thought we'd start there. What is the mood? It's a weird one, James, with this coming directly off the international break, particularly with so many players involved with TFC being directly involved with that game that we've talked about all week. What's the mood around TFC that you've seen today coming out of the international break and heading into this big game? Are they refocused now, do you think?
Yeah, it is a bit of a strange one. You know, we're more used to having our decision day madness sort of go down and then hopping right into the playoffs, and having this sort of almost 2 week break in between matches has been it's taken a little bit of adjustment. It took a couple of days to get back in the swing of things. We haven't talked to the guys yet today. I'm just sort of watching them out of the side of my eye, very much against the rules. We haven't been welcomed up to training yet, but I'm a good couple of pitches away, so I don't think they'll mind too much. The mood is good. You know, it was always going to be a little bit awkward having, you know, your captain go up against a bunch of his teammates at your home stadium a couple of days before getting back together before this playoff game. But the sense I've gotten in the last couple of days is that, you know, this is a team that very much knows what to do at this point in the season. They have a lot of experience. Last year's disappointment at missing out on the postseason aside, and there's a lot of the same faces. So it's very much just, you know, picking up where they left off in 2017.
Now, out of the corner of your eye, do you see a large striker out there training? I'm asking for a Josie update. Do you have anything?
I cannot see him from the distance. I'm probably a good kilometer away from where they actually are. So they're just a bunch of red blobs. Even Josie's not standing out from what I can see. But, you know, yesterday he wasn't out in training with the whole team. We saw him come in a little bit later, and he has his own sort of routines and work that he puts in separately from the main squad. And so, you know, the latest reports are sort of he's got a couple of hurdles that he's got to clear. He's got a couple of fitness tests that he's got to beat in order to be available for the game. And I think Bill Manning said on the radio yesterday that it's a game time decision. And Greg Vanney said it's day to day yesterday. So we're very much looking forward to the next update in terms of where he's at and whether he will be able to play a role on Saturday or not.
I know you haven't spoken to Greg Vanney or to the players today, but what was the mood the last couple of days? What's the confidence level of this Toronto FC team that did finish the season well, but are going to a playoff in a different format, one-off, a one-game scenario, versus a team like DC United that does have a couple of outliers like Wayne Rooney, Lucho Acosta, that could change the result of a game in an instant, especially when it's a one-off? So what's the confidence level of Toronto FC heading into the weekend?
Well, leaving the one game aside, I think that's a bit of an X factor that nobody really knows quite how that's going to play out this season is, you know, I think I'll put it up to Nick DeLeon, who I spoke to about a week ago about going up against his former team. And I asked him sort of, you know, making the playoffs, given the way that the season went, is in itself a bit of an accomplishment. And I wanted to know what they consider, you know, an achievement this year. What would be a mark of success? And he was pretty blunt about it. He said anything less than an MLS Cup would be a disappointment, seeing how now they're here in this playoffs. And it's, you know, 3-4 games away from being in their grasp. And so, you know, I think that's very much the attitude with which this team is approaching this postseason.
Now, you mentioned that the expectations, or at least the goal, the destination, is MLS Cup. We've seen this team go to MLS Cup before, 2016, 2017. You were close to that team at that time, too. Do you see similarities, or do you see a different attitude? I know it's early, and I know it's easy to to maybe not see something that's there or not. But what I'm saying is, do you see similarities between the two cup runs and their beginning of the playoffs and this one?
I'll start out with the difference that I see first, and then we'll go into some of the things that strike me as being very similar. When that 2017 run came about, we knew exactly what Greg's preferred 11 would be on the pitch, and we knew exactly how they were going to go about games and what a game would look like if Toronto was going to be at their best. Whereas, you know, this season, given the way that it's gone, the departures of Giovinco and Vasquez early in the year and the Tam wingers not showing up until August or so, you know, Benny could trot out an 11 that is any one of three or four different looks, depending on who's looking sharpest in training. And that sort of lack of certainty can be a little bit of a debilitating factor. You know, by this point in the year, you would have liked to have known exactly what your best foot is so you can put that forward into the postseason. But I think that also means that we don't know exactly what Toronto's ceiling is. You know, this is a team that all season has sort of been finding ways to get enough done. And I think if you look at these last 10 matches where they went unbeaten, it was very much a do what you have to do to get the job done. And in this one-off situation that we're heading into, that's very much the ethos with which you have to approach these matches. Now, in terms of similarities, I would say, you know, this team has a very focused demeanor when it comes to these sort of things. You know, you can sort of tell that when the big games are coming around, things get a little bit more quiet. They're a little bit more serious, at least when they interact with us. But then when you see them in the moments where they don't think we're paying attention, they're pretty loose and they're pretty relaxed and they're pretty buoyed by what's been a good run around these parts. And so I think aside from that fact that we don't know exactly what their best 11 will look like, I'm getting a sense that this is a team that's very much feeling themselves heading in.
Fair enough, but they obviously there's an opposition involved in here. DC United is in town. Wayne Rooney is in town. I don't know how much contact you've had with DC, if any, but what are your thoughts on DC's plan heading this, DC's confidence in this, and in particular, what the big man himself might be presenting at BMO Field? Is Wayne Rooney going to be up for this, do you think?
Oh, I think any if you were to go into this game doubting that Wayne Rooney would be up for a knockout match, then you're fooling yourself. I think he'll be relishing the possibility of making sure that he ends his MLS career here on a high note, and Toronto will be a team that's standing in their way. Looking at the two matches between these teams this year, it's really hard to get too much of a sense of what DC is going to look like. That first one was that ridiculous 0-0 draw where TFC set a record for taking 1,000 shots on DC's net and not managing to find the back of the net. I don't think it was actually 1,000. I think it was more like 34 or 35 or something like that. But it felt like 1,000 as the 90 minutes wore on. And then the second leg was TFC going down there. Nick De Leon scores a goal. I think it was some good work by Tsubasa Endo, if I'm not mistaken, to get the ball to him. Or it might have been somebody else. I'm blanking right now on who provided the ammunition there. And then it was a VAR call in stoppage time that ended up giving Wayne Rooney a chance from the penalty spot. And so we've seen Ben Olsen's teams be difficult to play against. They're annoying to play against. They lock things down pretty tight, and that's been their signature through this last part of the season where they've gotten some good results but struggled to score goals. And, you know, they're coming into BMO Field. They know what this team is capable of, and at the same time, they know that this is a one-and-done. You got to score in those 90 minutes or we're going to penalty kicks. And, you know, granted, that hasn't always fallen in TFC's favor either, and it might not be the worst tactic in the world, but nobody wants to leave it to that chance when it comes to playing here. So I expect DC to be a little bit more adventurous, perhaps, than they were in their last trip here, but I also think that they'll be doing their primary focus will be keeping themselves secure at the back and finding chances when they come their way.
We've already talked about Jozy Altidore, Miles Robinson for Atlanta. You can look at Bedoya's health is in question. Mark Anthony Kay went down. There's been a lot of significant injuries heading into the MLS Cup playoffs this time and factored in with that wild card of that one game knockout, James. As a guy that observes the entire league and not just TFC, I'm wondering whether you think this playoff is going to go closer to chalk or if this is just truly going to be one of those, like, you know, NCAA March Madness kind of crazinesses that take place.
I think the general sentiment, that's been something I've been asking everyone about over these past few weeks. So how does this change in format going to affect the way that these playoffs play out? And, you know, the general consensus most strongly put by Greg Vanney was that over the course of two legs, you could sort of feel that the better team was going to win out. You know, you could have a bad game. You could have a decision go against you. You could have a stinker like TFC did in that first leg against Montreal a couple of years ago where they go down 3-0. And you know, if you have to make up that 3-0 first half deficit in the next 45 minutes, that's a pretty tall ask. Whereas if you have a whole another 90 minutes, even if it ends up being one of the most insane matches we've ever seen, that possibility is there for you. Whereas if it's just a one-off game, then you have to get it done on that night. And all the attendant uncertainties that comes in any one match, you know, can play a role. So are we going to see the best team end up escaping? You know, you could make the argument that maybe MLS Cup playoffs were always a little bit like this, where it wasn't necessarily the team that did the best over the course of the season. It was more the team that did the best in the last couple of weeks of the season, the last couple of months of the season that would emerge. But, you know, the margins just become that much finer when it all comes down to 90 minutes and all the madness that we've seen happen on a soccer pitch over the years is in play.
James, before we let you go, if you have to make one, I wouldn't say prediction. I know you don't necessarily like predictions, but if you have to say maybe one big storyline, surprising storyline coming out of these playoffs, what would it be?
Out of the playoffs as a whole or TFC
as a whole,
in particular?
I'm going to give you a lot of room to interpret, so as a whole.
All right, I'm going to say LAFC does not win more than one playoff game. That's my bold prediction here.
Wow, that is a bold prediction indeed. Thank you very much, James. You can follow James' work on his social media at Grawsee, so at GRAWSEE. You can find all his work there. James, thank you very much for your time today, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to see each other soon again.
My pleasure, boys.
And we'll be right back after this short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie, joined by Dwayne Rollins, as always. If you want to hear more about the game earlier this week, the historical night at BMO Field, make sure you go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the exclusive patron show, the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, where this week we have Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, Peter Montopoli, also Kamal Miller, and more, giving us their thoughts after the win of Canada versus the U.S. But Dwayne, the international break is finally over, and we can finally focus for the playoffs, and only the playoffs. We don't have to stop in November again for another international break. This is going to be all right. The next few weeks, it's all about the playoffs.
That's absolutely true, but I will say this before the start. Yes, we're getting rid of the November break, which was terrible. There's no doubt about it, but this break leading into the playoffs is just so bad. As crazy. It's bad. Like I mentioned the injuries, Mark Anthony Kane, Miles Robinson right there. That's two massive injuries for two teams that potentially could win MLS Cup, right? Like we saw what LAFC, how they struggled when MAK went down last year, and it's an underrated and under-talked about story. Well, actually, it's maybe not anymore. All the people talk about it being an underrated story, so it kind of does that reverse ironic thing. But nonetheless, it's an issue. Miles Robinson is another huge one. He's emerged this year he was nominated for the Defender of the Year with Michael Power 1.
And you saw the comments? Did you see the comments of Frank DeBoer? Like, Frank DeBoer, a usually very stoic and emotionless type of answer in his scrums, he was not happy about the Miles Robinson injuries. Like, I told them not to use him too much. We told them not to do too much with him. They didn't listen. They played him the way they wanted to, and now he's injured.
Yeah, and these are huge factors, and this is coming out of an international break. And you know, I don't want to talk too much more about that. We were next month, we were 4 weeks away from talking about it again, right on the heels of MLS Comp. So it'll be lots of time to talk about it at that point. But yeah, it certainly to suggest that just because it's not in the middle of the playoffs or the international break doesn't still have an impact in the most important games of Major League Soccer season is incorrect. It clearly has. And it is another factor. And look, I mean, I think it's probably going to be fine in TFC's dressing room. But my first question to James was legit, too. Like, you have Michael Bradley walking back into, you know, like, who knows whether there's any tears in the cohesion in the at fabric. That point. I'm sure it's more good natured, but who knows?
Tears in the fabric of space of Toronto FC emotions in the locker room. I don't know. He had to cross the divide of the locker room and go in the other one. Anyways, it'll be interesting. But let's look at the other matchups than TFC. We've talked about TFC a little bit, and we'll get to our predictions, and we'll fill out the bracket that you see on your screen in a second. The MLS Cup Bracket Challenge. I'm probably going to create a group today. I know it's late. Maybe we should do it's not fantasy, so we don't have to choose every day. So we just have to do one bracket. That's good, right? Oh, and right. We're just going to get Dwayne back on the line for some reason. Dwayne has disappeared. Dwayne's going to join us back. But looking at the bracket, we did talk about TFC. Another interesting matchup in the Eastern Conference is, of course, the Philadelphia Union with the New York Red Bulls. When you look at the Union and the Red Bulls, Dwayne, this matchup, it is important. Union had a great season, but can they perform in the playoffs? That's the question about the Philadelphia Union.
Look, here's the analogy I'll bring. We've been talking about the international break a little bit more here. It's Canada-US all over again, because New York Red Bull has all of the history, and everything would suggest that the Red Bulls are better. And everyone that says the Red Bulls crash in the playoffs, that is true. They never have won the ultimate prize. They do generally win the early rounds and have been a pain in people's you-know-what for the last several years now. Philadelphia, on the other hand, is a team that, thank God for Orlando. Otherwise, we'd be pointing out how terrible their launch has been. It really has not been great, but this year has been. So there really is no reason to suggest that Philly should not, especially at home, win this game yet. We all have doubts. And this is, I think, a key game. If Philly can win this game, then I will put them as co-favorite in the East if they can get by this one. But I am not entirely convinced they can yet, because I'm just not entirely convinced that the old dog is dead, that the NYRB, they've had a bad season, they've had a bad stretch. But
Old Glory has not been taken behind the barn yet?
No, exactly. Or I was on Vocal Minority last night, talking mostly about the U.S. team, but we did actually preview the playoffs as well. And when I spoke it there, I talked about, you know, how when you're like a terminally ill patient, there's this talk about how you have this moment of glow in the last couple hours before you actually go. I wonder whether New York's going to have that one last gasp of air and like have one last good day. I don't think they're winning MLS Cup, but... in Philadelphia, maybe.
A one last moment of lucidity before saying goodbye. Will the Philadelphia Union have that moment? We'll see. We'll get to our predictions. I just want to overview a little bit, Dwayne. Atlanta-New England is a fascinating matchup because of the Bruce Arena effect with the Revolution. Revolution looking more dangerous than the sum of their parts, and that's fascinating to me. If you would take this lineup and put it on a piece of paper and be like, yeah, they should be just barely a playoff team. But with Bruce Arena, with the organization that comes with Bruce Arena being your manager, and also the us against the world mentality that usually comes with a Bruce Arena team, you never know what could happen. One-offs, you never know. And Miles Robinson injured. Josef Martinez is not 100%. We know that. So for Atlanta, tomorrow in the afternoon, it's not going to be easy at home against the Revolution.
Yeah, the injuries are the questions that I have most. You really start that game too. We'll have these answers quickly. I'm looking forward to watching that one before I go head down to Bloomfield. It should be a good day of soccer all around. But the injuries, it's all about the injuries, because if Atlanta is healthy and performing the way that they should be able to handle New England. Everyone agrees that they've had a poor season by virtue of the expectations leading in. Do you remember our preview shows when I dared to not pick them first overall and all of our Atlanta listeners lost their damn mind? It's funny how 2 years in a row that's happened. It's like we should learn a lesson from that there's no sure things in this league. And so when we're all picking LAFC to run away with things next year, just pump the brakes a little bit.
When you really like Atlanta and supporters together, it's like the best expression you ever said. And no offense to Atlanta fans, I wish I had Atlanta as a team for myself. But you're born on third and you think you hit a triple. It's not necessarily the same.
Yeah, that said, look, they should have enough to dispatch of New England. New England's kind of a very mediocre team. But, you know, anyone who's gambled on MLS knows that if you try and do a parlay bet and just pick the favorites, you don't often win.
You lose.
There will be upsets in this week. Is it going to be this one? Well, the argument would be the injuries. So that's
true. You know,
kind of, I'm learning this about myself. I'm explaining how the underdog can win each of these games. I'll probably just continue that on the way forward as we go forward. That's why New England might win.
Speaking of underdogs, Seattle and FC Dallas. Seattle, of course, a heavy favorite in this game, but it wouldn't surprise me that much to see FC Dallas put on a surprising result. I don't necessarily see the way or how it could happen. Of course, Seattle is a massive heavy favorite here, and I do think that 90% of the time, Seattle will win this game. But I don't know about the intangibles, Dwayne. The one-off aspect, the one game. And James mentioned something earlier, and I haven't checked it, and sorry for my ignorance on this. But does it go straight to penalties after games? There's no extra time,
there's
believe?
No, there's a 30.
There's a 30? Okay, so 2:15 is okay. So at least there's that. Otherwise, it would have been a randomness in these playoffs. But we'll see. Seattle FC Dallas could be interesting or could be a blowout, too. I see those two results being possible here.
Yeah, you know, to continue on the vein of how I'm, you know, randomly choosing to approach this, the reason Dallas could possibly win this is because if you look back in fairly recent history, they went into Seattle midweek about 6 weeks ago and ended up with a draw. And as you say, if they can get through with something like that, and they are playing with no pressure whatsoever, Dallas has achieved what its season goals would be heading into this year. This was a team that stripped down and looked to rebuild, and was nowhere close to their Supporters Shield winning team from a couple of years ago. Everyone said if they made the playoffs, and I think that was the one position that Kevin and I both picked properly in the preseason, they'd have a good year, and they've reached that goal. So they're just playing with, you know, house money now, so to speak, and they're going to go lose.
House money is the right term because they saved money this year by sending contracts abroad. The Impact, you want Maxi Urruti? Sure, yeah, let's make it happen. Let's make us save some money, too. Let's continue on our overlook. We've talked about TFC-DC. We're going to get to the games of Sunday, but Real Salt Lake-Portland, the late game on Saturday in Salt Lake City at the Rio Tinto Stadium. Do you see Portland being able to play well on the road at altitude?
Yeah, they have played well on the road this year. They played poorly at home. They've been ironic that way. And I don't know whether that's maybe because the season started with such a long road strip from them that their players just got more used to playing away from home. Who knows? There's a lot of chaos around Portland right now. Yet, you know, when you look at the contract situations that have rolled out there, their star players are not happy, and it doesn't seem like this is a team that's ready to go on a run. Yet if you listen to a lot of previews of these playoffs, there's a lot of people picking them to do just that.
Someone told me Tuesday night at BMO Field, I'm not going to name them because then it'll be ratting them out a little bit, but someone, like a big name in the North American soccer industry, is very big on Portland. And I'm like, really? Really? All right. If you say so, I'll believe you.
They've been in three MLS Cup. If they were to make this MLS Cup final, it'd be their third in 7 years, 6 years. I'd have to go look exactly.
5 years. It was 2015, the first one? Anyways, you're right.
2015 is the one they lost.
Yes.
They won the title in
16?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
No, they won the title before that. I'd have to – you're quizzing me here, stuff I don't know. They lost last year. They beat Columbus, so that was in 2015. So that'd be, there you go. 4 years. Be their third.
That would be third and 4 years, exactly, yeah.
Third and 5 years, five seasons. This is the season. But, so it'd be similar to what TFC would do if they were to go there, right? That'd be three and four. But that's why people are high on them. But I'm going to go against my thing. I'm not really going against my thing here because a lot of people are actually picking RSL or picking Portland to beat RSL. I would think that this is the only fixture that the road team is slightly favored by experts. So I think that RSL just consistently have been good all year, and it should deserve, particularly with home advantage, to be the favorite in this match.
Such a weird year for RSL too. changing manager, changing technical director just a couple of weeks before the end of the playoff the season, then clinching a playoff spot, clinching a home playoff spot, but still a very weird, I would even dare to say, a transitional year for RSL. But still, they're in the playoffs, and they're going to host a playoff game. Who knows? I'm always having difficulties when a team like RSL that clearly has what's called a home field advantage just because of altitude and red blood cells going through your lungs, and literally you breathe better because you're used to it. So there's a slight advantage here depending on the weather, depending on the intangibles of the one-off. I can see Real Salt Lake winning this game at home, and maybe it is an upset even though they're playing at home. And we've talked about Philly Red Bulls as well on Sunday at 3 p.m. Minnesota LA Galaxy, 8:30 p.m. on Sunday. This one should be fun, too. If we have the open and attacking Minnesota that we've seen at some point during the season, and an on-fire LA Galaxy with Zlatan motivated to play, this could be a cracker of a game, or could be a dud, too.
Well, sure. LAFC has certainly been providing entertainment over the past few weeks in terms of their ability to both score and allow. The key to them, you know, and they are the underdog. That is not kid ourselves here. Minnesota is the home team here. Minnesota has the Defender of the Year. Minnesota has been playing more consistently and better all season. There is no reason other than Zlatan to pick LA Galaxy to win this game. But they have Zlatan.
We hate to admit it, but they have Zlatan, and Zlatan can change a game, and that's what it's all about. It's a game.
You talk about Wayne Rooney wanting to make a final good statement. There is, I think, a good chance that this is Zlatan's last moments in MLS as well, and he hasn't had the opportunity to perform at what the highest stage of this league is. No matter how much he's going to poo-poo it, he is still going to want to prove a point by going out and win this game. This is the most interesting game. This is not just hype in terms of you know, the MLS the marketing machine, which is very much very good at what they do, building it up. It is legitimately an intriguing matchup for a lot of reasons. First playoff game in Minnesota. We don't know what the weather is going to be up there. It's going to be probably a little cooler than they're used to in LA, though. It's like anything like here it is here today. They're not going to like it very much. So it's a lot of factors in here, but, you know, I don't know. We'll get to the predictions in a minute, but it is certainly, I think, worth the hype, this one. Sometimes MLS games are not worth the hype. This one is absolutely worth the hype. It is going to be massively intriguing to watch Zlatan go out and perform against what is a very solid, if superstardied, that's not a word I know, but I just made it one, Minnesota United.
I agree. Let's go to the MLS Cup Playoff Bracket Challenge. Here we go. Let's start round one. TFC DC United. Dwayne, who do you got?
I think Toronto is enough to get through a DC United that has struggled to score. Home advantage will be the difference. This will not be an easy victory for TFC. Maybe 2-0 with a late goal when DC is chasing the game. But I'm going to go with TFC here.
I'm the same opinion. I think TFC won't necessarily have it easy. We'll do just enough at home to get by DC United and book a spot against NYCFC, Union, and the Red Bulls. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with... show me, don't tell me, prove it. You're not the man, you beat the man. I think the upset happens. I think NYRB does get by them. Ooh. And I think it's because I don't have trust in Bedoya's full health. And if he's not ready to go and performing at the level that he can, then unfortunately for Philadelphia, which is a very solid team, similar to Minnesota, actually, but not necessarily a team that can afford to lose what top end talent it has. I think NYRB finds a way somehow. I'm going to go with Red Bull. Why? I don't know. Because it's MLS. That's why I'm going with that Red Bull.
Don't have to justify yourself. It's okay. But I'm going with the Union because I've never put faith in Jim Curtin before. He always been to me and to a lot of people over the last few years, a coach that, we were wondering if he was on borrowed time. And this season has shown us that, no, he's not on borrowed time. He's on his own time. And he's learning and becoming a lot better at what he does over the last 12 months. And I think that for a one-off playoff game, we're going to see Jim Curtin pull off a great strategy, even if Bedoya is injured, to just do enough to beat the Red Bull and continue and move on. And they will move on to play, in my book, in my bracket, the New England Revolution. I'm calling for the upset. Atlanta is going down. The defending champion eliminated in round one, Bruce Arena, and the New England Revolution are going to win on the road tomorrow.
I hear you. And I don't necessarily disagree with the analysis. The Miles Robinson injury is massive for them. They are going to need to replace a very, very important part, an underrated part there with that injury. So had you asked me to preview this game on Monday, I certainly would have won Atlanta. It would not have been much of a question. Now, yeah, I can see the argument for New England. And if it was any other team but New England, I would be a little bit more willing to jump on that. Suggestion, but for the sake of us staying a little bit different, I'll say AU gets through. But I think if we continue this bracket, you'll learn that I don't have a lot of trust in their ability to repeat.
Well, let's continue. So we both have NYCFC, TFC. Who wins that one to qualify for the conference finals?
Look, TFC has a good history of NYCFC, particularly in the playoffs. But is this the same NYCFC team as those playoff teams? Maybe TFC just matched up better at Yankee Stadium. And actually, I think there's an argument for that as well, that a lot of their success was the fact that New York City FC was just badly matched against, you know, 2 years younger TFC, and that little postage stamp they play on, playing on what I assume is a normal size pitch at Citi Field.
A bit bigger. It's not necessarily fully sized, but it's bigger than Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, with injury concerns with Jozy Altidore. Look, if Jozy's healthy, I think TFC absolutely has a chance to win this match, but I'm going to assume that Jozy is not going to be able to shake off the injury, and NYCFC, in what is a close game, but ultimately does end TFC's dreams and hopes and causes victory celebrations in the cafes in Montreal, of those still paying attention. So I'll go with NYCFC in this to go to the conference final.
There won't be a lot of coffee in Montreal being interested in the MLS playoffs, to be quite honest. But who do you have in your other conference semifinals qualifying for the conference finals?
I went with Atlanta and NYRB. I'm going to go with the Red Bulls, because I just don't think Atlanta is healthy. And so I'm calling for a New Yorkers red-blue conference final. I can't believe I did that. I didn't even work that out in my head until this very moment. Damn. But that's what I guess I'm calling for. Here we go.
Since I saw New York play against the Impact 2 weeks ago now, not even, I can't see them making all the way there. They just didn't look that good at all. But who knows? It's a playoff. It's another season. It can happen. And we're both right at this moment. That's the beauty of making a bracket challenge. You're not right. You're not wrong until you are wrong. And we're not wrong yet. It might be on its way, though. Might be wrong tomorrow. Let's continue. I have NYCFC versus versus the Union. I do have New England.
The England versus the Union, yes.
Yeah, so Union, New England. I debated that one. I'm like, I wanted to take the upset again. I wanted to take, the Bruce Arena effect is going to propel. But, you know, I feel the same for the Union. And you got to turn a corner. And I think the Union turned a corner this year. And I think the Union will qualify for the conference finals versus NYCFC. But then for my conference finals, Wayne, I'll go quickly. I think NYCFC wins. I think NYCFC qualifies for MLS Cup, for the MLS Cup. And I think it's going to be also at Citi Field. But that's for the other side of the bracket. I'll let you finish your east side before we move on.
I'll summarize this in general. With Atlanta's injury concerns and Toronto's injury concerns, I think NYCFC, because bluntly, I do think those are the only three teams that I can see winning the East right now. That's based on Toronto's form and experience. NYCFC's, obviously, I don't need to explain why I'm putting Atlanta in that mix, because they're very talented. And NYCFC has been, over the last half of the season, the best team in the East. So those are the three teams I could see winning it. Now that I've gone the bracket this far, obviously I'm picking NYCFC to win this, because they are not up against one of those other two teams. So that's how I see this playing out.
All right. So we both have NYCFC in MLS Cup final. Let's quickly go through the West. Minnesota, LA Galaxy. Who do you got?
I think Minnesota wins this. I think that the Zlatan is understated. And in fact, Minnesota, as much as I said it's intriguing, I don't think it lives up to the hype. I think Minnesota just grinds out a 2-0, takes Zlatan out of the game. He starts to tune out. LA starts fighting with each other, and they're in another rebuild again, because that seems to be what they do now.
That would be... I can see it happen, and it's a logical way to get to that conclusion. But it's not romantic. I kind of want a lot of romanticism in my life. Zlatan scoring the game winner against Minnesota. Moving on to face LAFC in the conference semifinals. And who knows what's going to happen. So I have LA Galaxy beating Minnesota. Real Salt Lake, Portland. Who do you have?
RSL. RSL.
Okay. We both agree.
Yeah, I agree.
RSL is going to take advantage of home field advantage and want to put a season with a lot of ups and downs and weird moments in the past, please. That's what RSL is going to do, and they're going to win against Portland. We both agree. Seattle FC Dallas. Can Dallas pull the upset, Dwayne?
No, I think they're a little too young. I think Seattle gets this one done, and the West stays relatively literally stays on chalk, as I've called it.
So you have Minnesota LAFC. Does the Mark Anthony K injury change your prognostics?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So LAFC loses?
Look, part of this is maybe contrarian, but at the same half, I'm not the only person that has noticed that LAFC has not been the same over the last 6 weeks. It's been very good, but they haven't been quite the same. You add in Mark Anthony Kay's injury, which I do think he's probably gone for 6 weeks, based on what I saw at the field, the first hand of the field. You don't pull up like that if you don't have something seriously wrong. So I think that is a massive hole that they need to fill, and they're very talented otherwise, but he is so key to allow their skilled players to do what they do. So I think Minnesota gets it done 1-0 probably. It's very disappointing for Bob Bradley, and the Bradley clan at least can enjoy Thanksgiving together for the first time in a few years, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Maybe they don't want to. Maybe that's an awkward conversation at the table. Who knows? I have LAFC versus the LA Galaxy. And why not Zlatan scoring again against Vela and LAFC? And I'm trying. Can LAFC? What do I do? I've been thinking long and hard. And a lot of people wonder if LAFC can actually beat the LA Galaxy. And they haven't been able to do so far. And when big moments, big lights, big players step up, we've seen Zlatan step up in those moments time and time again. And over his career, Carlos Vela has shone from these moments all the way until this year. Will 2019 be different? You got to show me before I can predict it. So, LA Galaxy beating LAFC, Dwayne. I'm going with the Galaxy. The Galaxy going to the conference finals. Now, we both have RSL versus Seattle. What's happening in that one?
The Sounders are consistently one of the better playoff teams in Major League Soccer. Obviously, went to back-to-back MLS Cup Finals, winning the first one. Last year, they bowed out a little bit early, but I see them going back to the conference final in this particular case, where they would play Minnesota in my bracket.
So you would have Minnesota-Seattle. Who wins your conference finals?
The Sounders. Minnesota is not quite there yet, and I think that they're going to take advantage of LAFC's injuries more than sort of win it. LA might lose it if you follow. So I do actually see the Sounders going back to a third MLS Cup final in 4 years, which is quite the remarkable run of form for the team, I would say, that is arguably over the past decade the most consistently successful MLS team, maybe of all time, over the past decade.
And the funny thing is, it might not be at Citi Field after all. It all depends if the Yankees can win some baseball games or lose some baseball games. We'll know that next week. But the Astros are looking good. So I guess Houston, even out of the playoffs, are helping Yankees fans. Well, no, not the Yankees. They're helping NYCFC's fans, I guess. So we might play in a telephone booth after all. It all depends if the Yankees makes it all the way to the World Series. I would have the Galaxy versus either the winner of RSL or Seattle. I do see Seattle winning against RSL at home especially. And then you have in the final Seattle versus the Galaxy. This game would take place in Seattle, and I would favor Seattle as well. Zlatan on the pitch in a necessarily super warm day, in a very, I would say, the last glory time for this core group of players for the Seattle Sounders, with Lodeiro taking charge and actually propelling this team into another transitional moment in the next few years. I do feel, Dwayne, that we're going to see Seattle win as well, the conference finals versus the Galaxy. And we both agree, NYCFC versus Seattle in the MLS Cup final. And the question is, will it take place at Yankee Stadium or at Citi Field?
Or maybe MLS might force them to play at Red Bull Arena for a championship game. We don't know this thing yet. I would suspect that if Yankee Stadium was available, that they would go there, though. But I could see them actually.
NYCFC already announced a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, the scenario is possible. And Citi Field is the other possible scenario. It's only Yankee Stadium or Citi Field for MLS Cup as well. It has been announced. It all depends if the Yankees win or not. So we'll see. I kind of hope the Yankees win because I kind of want to see Citi Field. It looks a little nicer, but that's just my opinion.
Well, there is the hilarity of playing the championship game on a buddy hockey rink, basically. But it's not quite that small, but it reminds me of watching ice hockey when I watch NYCFC play on that field because it's ping, 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 ping. Anyway, I think NYCFC is going to win MLS Cup. I have for a while now. And the Mark Anthony Kay injury sort of solidified that thought to me. They have been since they turned, they were terrible up till what, May 1st.
I remember us in like late April be like, oh, New York is red. No, New York is blue. Nah, New York is terrible. That was my take back then. How things have changed at NYCFC is also my MLS Cup prediction. This year, we will probably see a team from New York winning MLS Cup before the Red Bulls do.
Yeah, and which would be... There is a certain level of humor to that, for sure. I did another – I've done like three brackets now. So this is, I guess, my more thoughtful one. I did one which I just did for me and Volker Minori last night, which were maximizing humor. And then I did another one for myself where I was trying to win the competition by picking the most absurd things I could, because that's how you win those bracket challenges, not by picking favorites. You have to have the worst, the craziest thing happen and happen to have it. So it's just a random clicking. My funny one was Toronto-Portland, because I just want to see Toronto get back to an MLS Cup final just to irritate everyone who's screaming about ticket prices here. But that's really getting into the weeds of TFC Twitter at that point. But anyway.
That's true. It'll be an interesting journey through MLS Cup playoffs to see who wins the trophy at the end. That journey starts tomorrow at 1 p.m. And you can make sure that you follow us for all your coverage. We'll be back Monday with, of course, the breakdown of the games this weekend and more. You can make sure you follow us on social media at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Laramie for myself, and at Soccer Today SBN for this show, to make sure you never miss a live show or get informed on more shows on the next Five Rings podcast. We'll have a soccer topic about racism, and I think it's important that you listen to that show in the next few days also. But as always, until Monday, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.